welcome to Non-Native, the podcast that shares conversations between immigrants, expats and interlopers. My name is Sarah, and 3.5 years ago, I up sticks from Bristol in the United Kingdom to move to the west coast of the United States. Moving meant leaving behind friends, family and the country I'd lived in my whole life for the promise of new experiences, meeting new people and adapting to a new culture. In Non-Native, I speak with women who have moved around the world in pursuit of love, work, happiness and adventure. Today's guest is Julie, the Parisian who swapped France for Michigan, New York, and finally San Francisco. Similar to Yeva, my guest in episode 3, Julie made her move after falling in love. In this episode, recorded in early September, Julie and I discuss long-distance relationships, the cultural parallels between Paris and New York, and the benefits of living in a multicultural society. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me on Non-Native.
Thank you for having me.
So let's dive right in.
Okay.
You are French.
I am.
You currently live in the Bay Area, but you used to live in New York and Boston.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Grand Rapids, Michigan. My bad.
I love Boston.
So I was just kind of wondering how you ended up there and indeed here.
Yeah. It's kind of a long story, yet I guess pretty common, you know. So back in 2009, I was a student in a business school back in France, and you know how they have those exchange programs. So based on my ranking, Grand Rapids is the exchange program that I got selected for. And that's how I ended up in Grand Rapids the first time. I was supposed to stay for a little less than a year. But then I found a job there. But more than that, I also found my husband.
Okay.
And so I guess this is where the story becomes fairly common. You know, you come as a student, you think you're going to stay for a few months. And, you know, next thing you know, you're here for a lot longer. So that's for Grand Rapids and how I stayed. I actually went back to France briefly for a year. For, you know, beginning of career, you don't really know exactly what you want to do, and finding a job is not necessarily easy. So I went back in France, but this guy that I really liked, now my husband, was definitely the reason I came back. So after a year in France, I came back, and this is when New York was, you know, home for a while. And
were you dating during that time when you went back to France?
We were long distance, which is really, really hard. If you ever was to do a podcast about, you know, tips and tricks for long dating, long distance dating, I can probably help. We were. But, you know, thankfully I was in one of those, you know, big international companies. So they sent me to New York, which was awesome. Unfortunately, when I moved to New York, my, you know, boyfriend, again, still the same, went to California. So, you know, fast forward a few months, I joined him here, and I've been here for 5 years now.
Wow. So you were still in a long distance, like you just started your relationship. You moved back to France.
Yep.
You keep up the long distance relationship. You get to move with work to New York, and then his work takes him across the other side of the country.
Yeah, pretty much. So if you look at the distance, it's pretty much the same, right? So we just kept the same distance moving west. We were very organized.
That must have been really frustrating after moving out here to New York.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what was it like when you first arrived in New York? Were you living together or were you in your own place?
No, because again, he was still in Michigan when I moved to New York, and then so we really never lived together until California, surprisingly enough. So years of long distance and missing the cut to be in the same city at the same time.
And how did you find New York when you first moved?
I adored New York. It's such a magical city. It is also a very difficult city to live in, right? So when you arrive at first, you see it with the eyes of a tourist and you want to enjoy everything and it's fantastic. But then you get very, very tired very quickly because, you know, you don't sleep enough because you're absorbing all of New York. And then you quickly realized that, you know, everything is complicated in New York, like going from point A to point B, though the subway is awesome. But if you want to, you know, go outside of where the subway takes you, it becomes complicated. Grocery shopping is awful. I was fortunate enough to have a corporate apartment for a few months, so I didn't really realize how finding an apartment was also like a big challenge. So it's amazing, but it's a rough place to settle in and live in.
And so how did you feel when you found out that Alex had to move to California?
We had a few rough conversations.
Okay.
it's fine. You know, he's a software engineer, so California is the place to be, and he had a pretty good opportunity. So, you know, we've always been very supportive of one another. So I was supportive of him trying that out in California, even though, you know, I was, very disappointed of not having him in New York, but that's the way it is. I think supporting one another is really important, right?
Right. And at that point, you'd been dating how long? Oh, you'd been dating like 3 or 4 years by that point?
It was 3 years by then, yeah.
And so it was serious enough that you decided to make the leap and move to California with him?
Yes.
And was San Francisco your first and last destination, or did you move anywhere else in California?
No, that's the first and last for now, so yeah.
I'd love to know how New York compared to France, but also how California compared to New York. How did you find those transitions?
Yeah. So I think I was lucky enough that I had Michigan, right, as my first transition from France and not New York directly, right? So my very first exposure to the United States was actually Michigan and not New York, which I love, because I think when you first move, you're really lost. You have to kind of relearn how to live a daily life, right? Everything that you think is completely normal in your country, that doesn't require you even thinking twice about what you're doing, is complicated when you're in a new country, right? Grocery shopping, like you're reading all the labels, you don't know what the food is, you don't know what you like, you don't know what you don't like. It's very complicated. So all that kind of experience I had in Michigan, which is a very quiet place where, you know, if you spend like 5 minutes in front of each cereal box, no one is going to like rush you or push you, right? So I guess I'm lucky enough that I experienced New York knowing a little bit how to live a daily life in the United States, right? So in terms of, and to answer your question, in terms of comparison to France, I mean, a lot and not that much when you think about it. France is probably, has more like rules that you have to follow. In New York, it's kind of, I would say, you're very free to do a lot of things. And I think the city calls for it, right? Because it has everything you can think of. So that I really like that about New York. It's also very similar in terms of how they view and embrace culture. I think some of the top museums in the world, you know, are probably between Paris and New York. We have great museums in other places, San Francisco included. But, you know, generally, like when you think about it, you know,
right, the culture, Louvre, those are the like, Met.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those are like cities of culture, cities of museum, right? So if you love going to museums in Paris, you're in a great place in New York. So, but still with this kind of, you know, freedom, I would say, less rules, even in museums, right? I don't think we would ever do a, you know, wine night in a museum in France.
Okay.
New York is the type of place where you have that, right? It's Thursday night, no kids, wine type of things. Then New York also is a place where career-wise, right, you have a very, very good set of opportunities. France has good opportunities as well. But again, more in a more structured path. In New York, I think you can explore, and probably in the US in general, but New York is a good example where you can explore a little bit more within your career, within an organization. You can say, look, I'm interested in knowing more about this department. Why don't I take a project that's kind of like, you know, different from my day job, just so as I can learn new skill set, do type of thing. I feel like in New York, people move a lot from companies to companies. They move a lot from jobs to jobs. So there is this mentality that, you know, if you want to learn, go for it, try it. We have this a little bit less in France. I'm making friends sound so bad. Then on the flip side, and this is the bright side of France, relationships are stronger in France. People move less as well, right? So New York is a very transitional city. People go to New York for a while. There is very little people that actually settle in New York. So it's, you cannot really count on having true deep friendships. You know, in my time that I spent in New York, I made true friendships, mainly with French people, and with a few Americans. And this is actually pretty uncommon, to be fully honest. But most of the people I met were here for a while, right? And they were not here to stay. And as a result, it shows a lot in the relationships. It's more superficial. There is a lot of, you know, oh yeah, well, let's do something, and then that never happens. Do type of thing. In France, when you have like friendships and when you have friends, like it's a sure thing, right? I mean, if your friend, they won't bail on you on a Saturday night. But I think also it comes with this thing where people are less transitioning through, you know, Paris, for instance, than they are in New York.
Right. I feel like, I mean, I haven't lived in New York, so I can't really speak to that. But I think here in San Francisco, I feel that everybody is very friendly and polite, but then there does seem to be, there can be that superficial layer of like, oh, we've just met, this is so great, let's hang out, and you exchange details, and then sometimes you never hear from that person again, or yeah, you make plans and then someone bails, and it's interesting that you kind of say that comparing that to your experiences in France, because I feel in the UK as well, like there isn't that. Maybe we're more reserved.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do make a friendship, it lasts. It's not,
yeah,
you know, we've put in the groundwork because we're not used to being as friendly and approachable, perhaps as Americans are.
It's the same. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I actually feel bad for Americans who are attempting to go live in France, because at first it's probably extremely hard because we're not going to be friendly and welcoming them probably as they're doing for us, right? Foreigners. But once we do, then they can probably count on us for, you know, a lifetime, which right. I think here is probably a little bit less the case. And again, you know, I want to make sure that I do point out that there are exceptions and that I have like fantastic American friends that are like, I'm sure for life. But in the vast majority, it is going to be superficial.
Yeah. And so is there, you know, we've spoken quite a lot about the differences between France and America, specifically New York. Is there anything that you particularly miss about your life in France?
Yes. So it's the people. I think, you know, it's fairly common, but it's very true. I think when you first move, you miss everyone and everything. Right. And you're comparing everything all the time, and even you're comparing people with time passes. Right. You kind of concentrate and this, you know, you only probably you miss a little bit less people, to be fairly honest. But I feel like paradoxically, you miss them more. Right. So, I mean, really, I think it boils down to people more than a country. And at this point, I even miss people, you know, in other cities in the US that I don't see as much as I would like. So, yeah, the more you move, the more people, like very important people and, you know, key people in your life you meet, and then you miss them. So I miss some food as well, of course, but San Francisco being San Francisco, you can find everything. So it's fine if you're willing to pay the price. You can have amazing cheese here. So I'm okay. So yeah, it's really, really the people.
Yeah. And do your friends and family from France visit you a lot? Do you go back to see them frequently?
Yeah, so I'm fortunate enough that people do come often, and I have the opportunity, whether for work or personally, to go to Europe fairly often. So we manage to see one another like a few times a year, which, I mean, I know I'm very fortunate that it's not the case for a lot of, you know, expats, but yes, I see them a lot. And we established a pretty good habits with my parents that I actually really like. We kind of figured that the middle for us, you know, if we were to do split the trip halfway, for us to meet somewhere in the middle is somewhere in the Caribbean. So we organize vacations in the Caribbean every like 2 years, where we meet, you know, last time we did the Dominican Republic. So I mean, we find good ways to meet, so I'm really, really lucky.
That's great. I think I need to take a leaf out of your playbook, because I've been suggesting New York being in a kind of middle between, say, London and San Francisco, but maybe I need to think more Caribbean beach holiday.
Yeah, it's nice. That would be my advice.
Great. So is there anything in particular that you love about your adopted country of America, or specifically, is there anything that you particularly love about New York or San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, I love the US. Maybe it's a kind of naive and blindsided comment, right? But I just love it. I love the multicultural. I mean, you have people from all over here. You can talk about, you know, food with someone from India. You can talk about politics with someone from Russia. I mean, this is incredible, right? This I love the fact, and especially in San Francisco, right? Again, having been in several places in the US, I think I see that it's different, you know, from one place to the next. But overall in the country, and again, San Francisco in particular, it's all those people from everywhere. It's just incredible. And that really shapes, you know, the culture, and that shapes your daily life, actually, in the habits that you take. You know, I'm drinking matcha tea now, for instance, is a normal thing, right? Doing yoga, this type of thing. I mean, really, it's just all this culture mix that you take the best, I would say. They bring the best of their culture. And they bring it here, and the US is welcoming that and is supporting it, right? And then you make of your life, I feel, the best of, you know, bits and pieces of every culture. So for me, this is the US. And again, there are a lot of other elements to it, and maybe some less shiny elements, but that's what I want to concentrate on, right, as living here. And I find that fantastic. Another thing that I love is, I mean, again, professionally speaking, the opportunities to learn, to grow, to challenge yourself are incredible. Especially here, again, I mean, the current job market in the Silicon Valley is pretty incredible, in all honesty, right? So the fact that you can really build a career here. And I probably could in France as well, but the fact that I can explore and try things and be challenged to try new things, I don't think I would have that many possibilities in France. So I love that. And this is the US in general, but this is this region in particular.
Right. And would you refresh my memory? Was it Paris that you were coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So you were coming from a cosmopolitan city and swapping it for another.
Yes. One of the things I have to say, though, is Paris is very cosmopolitan, but being French, I was probably also not embracing it as much. I think when you're a foreigner yourself, you probably are more looking for things from others. A foreigner, you tend to also meet more foreigners. I know very little foreigners in France, meaning foreigners that are not, you know, not French people.
Right.
I know a lot more foreigners here in the US, right, that are not American people. So it's also, I mean, you're right. Paris is very cosmopolitan, but you probably don't embrace it as much or try to look for it as much, because in your country, you're less maybe tempted to look for it because you know you have your friends, you have your habits.
I guess you're right. I think like you say, when you are foreign to somewhere, when you're an immigrant or an expat, you are potentially more open to trying new things. You know, it's like we were discussing earlier, I've only very recently been to the botanical gardens here in San Francisco, and I couldn't believe it's been, you know, 3.5 years and I'd never been there. Mm-hmm. And you were saying it's like living in Paris and Parisians and the Eiffel Tower. It's the kind of thing where you think, oh, I can go tomorrow, I can go whenever I want. And so I think perhaps when you are moving somewhere new, you're more open to what that place has to offer.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to take it all in, you know, you want to embrace it.
So what does the idea of immigration or freedom to move mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a very interesting question, right? And I give it some thought. So I try to be very holistic, right? And think about it for everyone, right? So people that need to move to survive, right? And then I decided maybe to go a little bit more the selfish route, but also, you know, something that is more like, you know, personal to me. And so the way I see it, and again, it's for me, talking about me, my own experience and myself, and not considering other types of immigration, right? You know, when you're French, you kind of think you can go anywhere. I mean, Europe is, you know, with the Schengen space, is very very open, so it's really easy to go from one place to the next. There are very little countries that we need a visa for, you know, when we visit. So the idea of the freedom of moving and going everywhere is pretty, it seems pretty normal. You don't even really think about it, right? Until you come here and you realize how hard it is, right? And people do tell you it's hard, but until you've actually experienced it, right? I think you don't really necessarily grasp it. I mean, the medical exam to come here, the weight, you know, the anxiety, the controls, I mean, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? So it's, it makes you realize that it's not that free to move and to, you know, immigrate where necessarily you want to, right? And so thinking about it, I think now, and again, very personally, that immigration and the freedom to move is actually a privilege. And that a lot of people, like every privilege, a lot of people don't have it. And the few that have it, right, are privileged. Yeah. It is special. It is extremely special, and I mean, I'm very fortunate that I have it. But again, I think it is a privilege, really.
Yeah. And is there? I mean, you've made these major moves. Do you ever see yourself moving anywhere else or moving back to France?
Yes. You know, my mom used to say that I was born with a suitcase packed and a passport. So I'm always tempted to, you know, keep on exploring. I really love here. So, and this is probably the longest, you know, I've settled. Okay. But yeah, I think we're going to have another move, but this time actually probably started from my husband and not from me, which is rare. And he wants to go to Colombia. So probably Colombia.
That could be exciting. And is that where his family are from?
Yes.
Yeah. So because you vacationed there mm-hmm. a fair bit. Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
It is, yeah. And I mean, new language, yeah, completely different culture. So, yeah.
We could have you back on the podcast in like a couple of years' time, like an update on how you're finding that. If you had any advice for anybody who was thinking about moving abroad, no matter where they were moving from, whether it's from Europe to here or moving anywhere else, is there anything that you would say to them or advise them to do?
Try to pick a country that has easy immigration policies. I think comparing is the worst that you can be doing. And we all do it very naturally at first, but this is probably what drags you and stops you from necessarily settling and fitting in as quickly as you could, right? So fight the natural of wanting to compare everything and grading, you know, this is better in my country, this is better here. Especially because at the beginning, because it's uncertainty and you are unsure about the new things, you will most likely always think that whatever is in your country is better just because you're more accustomed to it and because you know it better, right? Then over time it may shift. So also don't compare years later, because then, you know, you're gonna end up thinking your new country is way better than you old. But yeah, I think it's easy to say, it's harder to do, but fight the urge to be comparing and grading everything all the time. And I think this is probably the worst mistake.
I think I was probably definitely guilty of that when we first moved.
We all do.
Yeah, whether it's comparing food or attitudes or how people drive, that's still one of my pet peeves. I still kind of curse Americans don't know how to drive, and you just got to think, no, it's that individual there. It doesn't mean that people in Britain are much safer on the roads. I'm sure that's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me, Julie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Non-Native. If you like what you heard, subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at ShipshapeBF or over on my blog, shipshapeinbristolfashion.com.